Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 97. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude, we should call this the Conference Semis Preview.
Conference Semis Preview. That's where we're at.
That's right. That's where we're at. We finally know who we're playing, dude. And
I got good news and bad news.
Okay, tell me, what's the bad news first, dude?
We're playing Detroit.
Well, after hearing that, I mean, what could the good news possibly be?
We made it out of the first round.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true, dude. Well,
so the ridiculously bad disappointment alleviated. But now we're on to another very difficult series, without a doubt. Detroit wins Game 7 tonight in a running away fashion, 6-1. I'm reminded of a series I think they played against Colorado 4 or 5 years ago, where I distinctly remember I was at my place. I invited people over. It's a Game 7. It's Colorado versus Detroit. This is with Sakic and Forsberg and Hajduk versus Yzerman and, you know, it was, you know, the clash of the Titans.
Yeah, epic.
Yeah, it was epic. And then it was, the game was over 15 minutes in, because I think Detroit won 7-0 or something. It was like the most anticlimactic Game 7 I've ever seen in my life.
You're really making me feel good, dude.
Yeah.
You're making me feel excited for the next round.
Well,
dude, this is the matchup that a lot of people have been anticipating.
Right.
I think in our guts, we both felt like this was going to happen at some point. We certainly hoped it wasn't going to happen initially. I hoped it wasn't going to happen at least until the conference finals, that somehow it might fall that way. That LA, thank you, Kings, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
And thanks, thanks Nashville, for giving up a shorthanded goal with 13 seconds left to tie the game and then losing in overtime. So thanks for that.
What hurts more? That being a Nashville Predator or being a New Jersey Devil right now?
Oh, Predator. They've never won a first round series.
And they had it right. They had it in the palm of their hand.
They had a real shot.
That was a ridiculous sequence for those of you maybe who didn't see it, is that, you know, Marian Hossa took a 5 minute, I think they called it a board.
Or charge.
Or I'm not sure what they called it, but it was a 5 minute major penalty with a minute left in the game and Nashville's winning.
Right.
And what happens is Nashville's on the power play and they really never had control of the puck. And Chicago, they pulled the goalie and it was even 5-on-5 and they scored. They scored with like 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
A shorty. And then Nashville had a 4 minute power play to go into overtime. They couldn't score, and not faster than he could get out of the box and say Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Marian Hossa scores.
Comes out and scores.
The guy who commits the major penalty.
Yeah.
So it was just so unfair.
It really was.
And actually pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But Chicago's still alive, and they certainly put the thump on Nashville last night too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pretty wide score, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the final was.
I don't know what the final was, but it wasn't close.
So Chicago and Detroit pull away. Vancouver ends up dodging the bullet with LA, which was maybe a better series than that 4-2 final indicated.
Yeah.
That was a pretty entertaining series.
Yeah, absolutely it was. I thought the Kings really had a chance there. They were up 2-1 at one point, weren't they? I think they were. Now I have to check.
Not sure about that one.
Okay, I'm checking.
Anyways, you know, the Kings clearly maybe a year, at least a year away, and probably another forward away from making that next step. Our final game here against Colorado, where we went to Colorado and it was looking like more of the same.
Yes.
We had Andy coming up with some huge saves. The Avs go up 2-1, dude. And then what are you thinking?
I'm thinking this series is in jeopardy. That's what I'm thinking. I texted you that. I said, this series is in doubt now. Because if they manage to hold on to win and they can get some momentum going and Anderson puts in another good performance in Game 7, this thing could be over. That's how my mind works. I just jump ahead, way too far ahead. But the Sharks, thankfully, had other ideas.
Dude, I don't want to take anything away from the Avalanche because I don't think we can. I think that their effort was exceptional. They played a great team game, and Anderson was outstanding.
Yes.
But when you take back and now you have a little bit of perspective on this series and you see how the Sharks really laid it on pretty thick in the end in those last two games, isn't it? It's pretty obvious that the Avalanche were in over their heads here in the end.
Yeah, I think that's true. I read a post on Behind the Net Hockey by Gabe Desjardins, and he broke down the chances, and the Sharks outscored the Avalanche in every situation. In terms of behind, tied, or ahead, the Sharks outscored the Avalanche in every situation and outchanced them in every situation. And he said it was just inevitable that the Sharks were going to end up winning because the margin was just so wide that, you know, goaltending and defense and maybe a little bit of luck, you know, went the other way. It might have been a sweep because the Sharks really did dominate for most of that series.
Sure. And, you know, some Avalanche fans are saying, well, we didn't have Milan Hayduk. Well, we didn't have David Jones. Well, we didn't have Peter Mueller. Tell that to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to matter. We had some of our top players missing with the Donner Party. Hello, paging Patrick Marleau, party of one.
Seriously.
You know, they may as well not have been there either.
Yeah.
So anyway, you slice it, dude. Sharks are moving on, and our lovely guest, I plan on driving to the airport and greeting them if I only knew when they were arriving, which is another topic, which I think we're going to get to in a moment, are the Detroit Red Wings, dude.
Yeah, well, you know, I know some people on the blog commenting on your blog post said, okay, well, this is what they, you know, I don't mind this matchup. I'm just going to come out and say it. I mind.
I mind too.
I don't want this matchup.
No,
I'm not
this
excited.
This is not what I wanted. This is not, if all things being equal, I mean, I said on the blog today, hey, I want Vancouver to win. I want Washington to lose tomorrow.
Sure.
I'm going to be rooting for them to be out. Get them out.
Yeah.
They're far more dangerous than Montreal.
Yeah.
Montreal wins that series, and then they're going to, you know, who's the highest seed left out there now? It's Pittsburgh.
Right.
They're going to go into Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's going to murder them.
Yes.
It'll be all over, party over.
Yeah.
What a great second round series between Philly and Boston, too. Then Pittsburgh will just be sitting there again going, hello, hello.
Yeah.
You know,
Mark Savard is going to be back.
Thank you.
So they're going to be fully healthy. And now, I don't know if you saw today, Ian LaPerriere, who's been a really important penalty killer for them.
Brain contusion.
Yeah. So he's out for, like, forever.
Well, maybe he should get the memo that he should stop blocking pucks with his brain.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yes. You should be like Grebishkov and
yes,
think with your nuts.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying, dude?
I do think that. Yeah, exactly. Kind of the whole thing came to a screeching halt.
So, dude, well, I said nuts. Dude, speaking of nuts, let's talk about the Sharks roster.
Okay.
All right, I'd like to go down this roster here before we get into the Detroit series. And I'm going to ask you about the forwards on our roster. And I just want you to give them a grade based on their effort and maybe give me a comment about how you think they did. So I'm going to start with Ryan Clough.
Ryan Clough, A+.
A+.
A+, Ryan Clough. He's got time for the most points. Sure, he doesn't only got one goal, but the fact is he's playing exactly the kind of power hockey that you need to see in the playoffs. He's just bowling through people. He's just doing all the things right. You know, he's +6 leading the, you know, tied for leading the team. I have nothing bad to say about Ryan Clough. I wish things would go in the net a little bit for him, but the fact is he's playing exactly the kind of game that he's earning a lot of money for. And right now that $3.5 million is looking like a bargain for Ryan Clough. And earlier this season, it wasn't. So my hat is off to him. He is earning his money in the postseason.
How about the rookie Logan Couture?
Logan Couture, I give a B+. I like Logan Couture. You know, he's only skating 10 minutes. I'm not sure if that's a function of how he's playing or if that's a function of the coaches not wanting to put him in a bunch of situations. But he's got two goals. Both of those goals were important. I'm glad to see the rookie in the lineup. I'm glad that it's not Brad Staubitz. I mean, I like Brad Staubitz. I watched the Sharks Late Night Confidential with Brad Staubitz in Randy Hahn's hotel room. And you know, he wants to be in there so bad. He can taste it, and you can taste it by watching him.
It's funny how they're now kind of making Staubitz is hurt. Did you see that today?
Really? No.
Well, Staubitz has an injury.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on. The injury is he sucks. That's not something that, you know, he's not going to play. Who are they kidding, dude?
Yeah, I hope he's not going to play, because especially against Detroit, there is not a place for him to go against
If
Detroit.
He was healthy, do you think he'd be in there now instead of Dwight Helmanen?
No, not even that.
He's my next player on the list too, Dwight Helmanen.
Dwight Helmanen, I give a B+, because he's a fourth line guy and he's contributing more than I expected. He's getting ice time and he's making the most of it. He's not getting a lot, but it's not like, you know, I remember last time in the playoffs, it's like, uh-oh, fourth line, you know, Jody Shelley, I hope nothing bad happens. And I'm not feeling like that with Helmanen on the ice. I mean, good things happen.
He's had a great goal in game 5.
Yeah, that was a cool goal, too.
Yeah, and when you look at it on the replay, that was a really tough angle that he got that on.
He was, like, almost skating on the goal line and managed to reach back and get it and roof it over Anderson, who was sprawled out. So, yeah, the fourth line, I definitely give very good marks to.
Senior lower body injury, Mr. Danny Heatley.
Danny Heatley is on a top line and he needs to produce, and he's not. He gets a C-. He gets a little bit of partial credit because he was hurt and he's trying to fight through an injury. It's more of a reason than an excuse. He gets a C- because he seems to be trying out there, but 4 assists, no goals, not quite good enough for Danny Heatley.
Yeah, I might give him a slightly better grade, maybe giving him extra points for heart and effort. I mean, gutting it out. He looked much better in game 6. He's got the most points out of any of those big 3. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's got to say something. How about Manny Malhotra?
Manny Malhotra. I give Manny Malhotra a nice solid B. He's doing the right things. I wish I would see a little bit more offense out of Manny. It seemed like he would have some good stuff going in the offensive zone, and right now it seems like he's really concentrating on faceoffs and the defensive aspect of his game. Still a bargain for what he's making. He's a damn good player, and I want to see him re-signed.
I think he hasn't really been put in the position necessarily to. Torrey Mitchell took that spot on the top line. Malhotra's playing a little bit more of the role that he should be playing and not like what he was playing during the regular year, because they're not going to break up the second line. So I'd agree. That's a B for him. Senor Patty Marleau.
Patty Marleau gets a D-. He is not doing well. He is, unfortunately, he hasn't been tarred yet with the playoff choker label, even though the Sharks have. But he has certainly got the brush out and the can of paint out, and he is whitewashing himself because he is disappeared. Whereas every other Shark seems to be hitting everybody and creating space through physicality, he is not at all. And I don't know if I could be more disappointed in Patrick Marleau right now. It's just, he's got to find a way to step it up, and it's just kind of not happening. He's just sort of like, okay, I'm going to wait for an opportunity. It's like, no, you have to make your opportunity here. You can't just wait around for something good to happen. You have to make it happen.
The guys were all over him on the telecast for not getting in front of the net, not going to the corners, and you're seeing on, you know, the shift right before, Couture's doing the exact opposite. In front of the net, taking the beating, going to the corners.
Right.
Marlowe's got to start doing that stuff. Dude, if he does not have a good series, the Sharks are not going to beat the Red Wings. I know that's a blanket statement that a lot of people are going to say, but it's true.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot beat them without him.
We cannot beat them without the top line. If the top line is going to have one goal combined in this series, they're going to lose. It's that simple. It's just that simple.
Jamie McGinn, dude.
Jamie McGinn gets a C+. He doesn't have any points, but he's hitting everybody. He's doing the physical thing. He's not getting a lot of ice time, but I like Jamie McGinn. You know, I still like him, and I think other people have some good things to say about him. So I wish he would be more of a contributor, but he's fulfilling the role he's there, so he gets a C+.
I'm going to give him a little slightly higher grade in the B- category because he's add a little bit of a salty edge to him. A little salty, and I like that. Torrey Mitchell on the top line now.
Torrey Mitchell, although he only has 1 point, I'm going to give Torrey Mitchell a B+ because he's coming back. He's the fast Torrey Mitchell, the tenacious forechecker that we want him to be. It'd be nice to have more goals, in which case he'd be above and beyond. But, you know, I give it in the context. He's playing well. They put him on the top line for a reason because he can create turnovers. And I like to see that.
Scott Nickel.
Scott Nickel gets an A-. Because Scott Nickel is everywhere all the time. He's got a truckload of hits. He's He'll block the puck with his face. He'll block the puck with his face.
Don't block it with your brain.
Yes. He'll block it again with his face if he just took it off his face. Scott Nichol is the ultimate in what you would want to see in a playoff performer from a guy who plays the style of game he does. He steps it up in intensity, and he never lets up.
I totally agree. Joe Pavelski, dude.
Joe Pavelski's an A+. Joe Pavelski, A++. Even better than Ryan Kloh. He's got 5 goals.
You're giving him an AP score here, dude? You're giving him 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A++. Joe Pavelski's clearly the best player on the Sharks in the series. The guy scored clutch goals. I don't necessarily believe in clutch, but the guy is performing. He's +6. There's nothing bad to say about Joe Pavelski. He was the best player, in my opinion, in the series, without question.
Can't argue with that. Pretty close, though, Devin Setoguchi.
Devin Setoguchi gets a nice solid A. That line was the savior for the Sharks. So he's scoring, he's hitting everybody, he's doing all those things. There were times where he was a little in and out for me, but most of the time he was on. And so it's great to see. He's only 22, keep in mind. If he can play that style of game and with that kind of intensity in the regular season, he's going to be an awesome, awesome player.
So I kind of heard Bandy to Bound on Chomp Talk, which we will be appearing on.
Yes.
As long as the Sharks are in the playoffs, the dudes are now invading Chomp Talk.
That's right.
We'll have more information on that at the end. But I heard Bandy about some talk of Devin Setoguchi wishes he was Corey Perry from Chatham. Do you agree with that?
I don't. They're not the same kind of player.
I don't think so either. Because Corey Perry, to me, is dirty.
Right.
And he makes dirty plays. And Seto makes good, clean hits.
Yeah. I wouldn't want him to. I think he's just saying that they're both physical. But they're physical in different ways. And they're not the same kind of player. I don't think Perry uses his speed the same way that Seto does. So, yeah. Right now, Perry's the better player. But I like the way Seto is progressing. No doubt about it.
Last on my list is Mr. Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton also gets a D-. This guy is a point-per-game player, and he's got 3 assists in 6 games.
Worst plus-minus on the team.
Worst plus-minus on the team. This guy has to pick it up. That top line has to be better. The fact that Douglas Murray has more points than Joe Thornton is embarrassing and disgusting, frankly. And Joe Thornton should be embarrassed by it. So it's not a good thing. These guys need to pick it up. That's the bad news. The good news is there's a hell of a lot of room for improvement here.
Sure.
I mean, nowhere to go but up for these guys. There's
so.
A lot of opportunity for them to really step it up because it's entirely possible that we could see Lidstrom and Rafalski against the Seto line, which puts Brad Stewart and Nicholas Cronwall against Patrick Marleau and Danny Heatley and Joe Thornton. And that's a matchup that I think can be exploited if that's in fact what happens.
All right. That's a good thing. You're giving me a little hope. I'm liking it.
We're doing hope. Okay, are we going, let's see. So we're going defense. You're doing defense, dude, right?
I'm ready.
Okay, so we're going to go Jason Demers first.
Oh, Jason Demers. I'm going to give him a B-, dude.
Okay.
I'm going to give him a B-, just because, you know, he wasn't great, but I don't think he was asked to be great. I think he was asked to be almost invisible. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't notice him that much, and I think for Demers, that's a good thing.
Right.
That he made good first passes, he didn't make a lot of big mistakes, and he was pretty solid, so I give Demers a B-.
Okay, what about Ken Huskins?
Ooh, Ken Huskins. I think I'd kind of give him the same grade.
Okay.
For the same reasons. Like, really didn't notice Ken Huskins that much, and again, that's a good thing because right. I think we noticed him a lot early in the year and in the preseason for being just everywhere when things went wrong. It was, you know, Ken Huskins who was sort of the one who you're pointing the finger at going, you suck, you know.
All right, let's go. Let's jump up and go Douglas Murray then.
Oh, Douglas Murray, I think is going to get. I think he's going to get an A- from me.
Wow.
You know,
okay.
I was really impressed with his, you know, and all, as always with Douglas Murray, I love his physical play. He had a taste of hate for TJ Gagliardi in that series.
Yeah.
And every time that guy tried to go down the boards and on the wing, Murray just flattened him.
Yeah.
Like every time.
I might go a little lower because I think he had some bad stretches there where he was kind of caught out of position a few times, but.
I'm living in the positive memories right now.
Yeah, good.
That's
good.
True.
All right, let's jump down and go Rob Blake then.
Rob Blake, I think, although I'm sure we could go back and find some moments where he's...
I love that Rob Blake! Love Rob Blake!
Had to do that.
I'm going to give him an A minus also, dude. And wow. I've been on the Blake hater train a lot. But something we talked about in the past is that Blake gave the Sharks a little bit of an identity in this series mm-hmm. in terms of he was the villain.
Yeah.
And every good story needs a villain, right? And he put himself in the position and he really showed why he's the captain
mm-hmm.
in this series. He was leveling people. He was regulating in front of the net. Sure. Can you still go around him pretty easily yeah. with speed?
He took a couple of hooking and holding yeah. penalties.
But he also delivered some big hits. He had 21 shots on net, you know, and I can't even imagine how many that were blocked or missed.
Right.
So he was really bombing away. It was the best Blake had looked all year, I thought.
Right. Okay, so let's go with Vlasic then.
Vlasic didn't really show up on the score sheet, but another guy that I don't want to be a broken record to, but I feel like I didn't notice him that much.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on Vlasic?
I'm going a little higher on Vlasic. Vlasic was tasked with going against the best a lot. It was him versus Stewart a lot, him versus Stastny a lot. And he just played like the veteran that he already is, even though he's so young. And he's Scott Hannon, basically, you know, without the contract. And I would give him a pretty good grade because I thought Vlasic did everything that was asked of him and more, frankly, because, you know, he could not afford to make a mistake, really.
How about B+?
Yeah, I think that's a good grade.
B+.
All right, so we gotta finish up with your hero and mine, Dan Boyle.
A. Dude, I mean, he could have easily been F.
Scarlet,
you know,
letter
based
A.
On, you know, based on what happened in game three. But this guy has a heart, you know, bigger than
yeah
the entire city, dude. And I think all Shark fans, especially those who own a t-shirt with Dan Boyle's name on the back,
yes,
felt terrible for him because right. he's the poster child for all that we hope it's going to turn around here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always got such a great attitude. He's a winner. And boy, did he prove it in the last three games. He was great. He scored two huge goals in Colorado, basically extending the giant middle finger of hockey to them. And said, yeah. "Well, I'm going to overcome this. I'm putting it past me." And he did. And Dan Boyle, for that, for me, gets an A.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I love Dan Boyle. So he's you know, eats up a ton of minutes. Yeah, that was a really unfortunate occurrence. Clearly on that replay, it clearly went off Ryan O'Reilly's stick. So if it wasn't touched, it wouldn't have gone in the net, no question. Nabby certainly deserves a certain amount of blame for that play. But we're over it. We're past it. And he bounced back right away. He didn't sulk. He didn't bitch. He was obviously crushed by the moment, but he didn't let that affect his future play. And what else can you do? He bounced back 100%. Okay, so now we both have to grade Nabby. I think we're probably going to agree here on Nabby. A for Nabby?
I'm going to say, with some hesitation, A-, just because he had one really bad game.
Yeah.
That game two, I can't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad. He was beat so badly, and you know, a lot of the goals I thought were his fault, and the team was fighting back so hard that game, and they bailed him out. I hope he bought them all dinner, because
right.
game two, what Nabby was so ugly that I just can't give him an A for the series. I'm gonna give him A-, dude.
All right, dude. So now we got to talk about two important players we didn't grade because they didn't play enough, but they might be playing in this series. One being, of course,
Hamburgers,
Nicholas Vahlin, and the other being Jed Ortmeier. So the question I pose to you is, are these guys going to see significant ice time? You know, Vahlin would probably replace Jason Demers, and Ortmeier might replace, I don't know, Jamie McGinn, maybe? Helminen, probably.
Yeah, I think the one of the two who has a better chance of being in the lineup is actually Jed Ortmeier.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're going to go with Demers. I think he brings the puck movement element to the game that we've talked about. They need a second puck mover. Vlasic is far too tied up in his responsibilities of stopping and shutting down, you know, the opposition's top players that, you know, Demers provides a little bit of relief in that area and also provides a second point on the power play. And if Wallin were to play, I mean, I would think the one who would sit is Kent Huskins. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that would be my choice. Not because Huskins necessarily is doing anything wrong, but, you know, Wallin in the clutch, right, I think over time has proven to be someone who you'd rather have out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Although they both won Stanley Cups. Dude. They both won Stanley
Cups. True. So do you think Wallin plays?
You know, you just made a really good argument. I was going to make the case that Wallin was going to be in. But, you know, Huskins had a good series too. I don't think Huskins really screwed up that much. So I think you're right. If Wallin plays, it's going to be instead of Huskins and not Demers. And it's been Demers and Boyle on the point, first unit power play pretty much the whole series. So I think you want to keep that going.
Right.
All right, let's see. Okay, so now's the time. Well, we could talk about Danny Heatley's first pitch. I know you're a Giants fan, so you probably saw that live. Was that as bad as Gary Delabate?
No, no, I don't think so.
It was definitely in the dirt, and I think he took a lot of heat for that. But
he's got a lower body injury, dude.
But that doesn't affect his arm.
Who was he there with? Chloe was on the broadcast, actually. Was
Jay
talking
Leach was
to,
there, too.
Was it Jay Leach?
Yeah, yeah.
Why'd they bring Jay Leach?
I'm not sure.
Maybe he drove.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I really didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we're not going to explain that.
I think the...
I didn't. Dude, I honestly didn't mean
dude,
it.
Dude, you made a driving Danny
Heatley I joke. Didn't know. And well, did you... Never mind.
Okay.
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
I think I can honestly say that for any other Sharks, and I know they're listening to this podcast... If you're going to throw out the first pitch...
throw out the what?
The first pitch. The key is you don't throw it hard. And that's what Heatley tried to do. You can't... If you're not a baseball player, you can't throw a strike at 90 miles an hour. You're going to throw a strike at 50. And if you throw it at 90, guess what's going to happen? You're going to either hit the backstop with it or the mascot, or you're going to get it in the dirt, just like Heatley did. So he picked...
He's trying to do a Bull Durham.
He made the wrong choice. He went with speed. He went with velocity instead of accuracy. And then... You look like a moron.
I would like for Patrick Marleau to do one of those two things in the next series, speed or velocity or accuracy, dude.
All right.
Dude, I want to talk about something.
Okay.
All right. Cue the music, dude. I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
A reason why the San Jose Sharks are going to beat the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
This season... versus the Detroit Red Wings, Thornton, Marleau, and Heatley together had better combined numbers against the Wings than they did against Phoenix in more games.
Wow.
So Thornton actually had 3 goals, an assist, and was a +2 against Detroit, whereas against Phoenix, he had 3 points and was a -3.
Mm.
Heatley, 3 assists, +3 against Detroit. Phoenix, I mean, he had 4 points, but he was a -1, but that's in 2 more games. So I'm encouraged by this.
Okay.
I think if there's a shot for the big three to come alive, it's going to be because the wide open style of this Red Wings Shark series is going to play to their advantage. Thornton and Heatley are going to come through.
Dude, I have a reason why the Sharks are going to win the next series.
Tell me.
Because Jimmy Howard can be beat. Jimmy Howard, he's a rookie. He's nominated for Rookie of the Year. However, in the playoffs, .910 save percentage, not great. 2.86 goals against, not great. The Phoenix Coyotes, not a team that has scored a lot of goals, scored 4 goals or 3 or more goals in all of their wins. They scored a lot of goals against Jimmy Howard in those wins. He wasn't sharp in every game, that's for sure. And against a goaltender that maybe won't be sharp every game, Sharks can take advantage of that. We can get Thornton on the board. We can get the awesome second line, the big Pavelski line going. Jimmy Howard can be beat.
Dude. The Sharks are going to beat the Wings again. Okay. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
All right. Zetterberg and Datsyuk versus the Sharks this year. Zetterberg, 3 points -2. Datsyuk, 2 points -1.
Hmm.
Not great numbers against the Sharks. So... while our top line played a little bit better than theirs, that's another reason we're going to beat them, dude.
Dude, I have another reason why the Sharks are going to win. It's because the Wings are freaking tired. Their fourth line is playing under 10 minutes a night, and their top 4D are all playing 23 minutes or more. They are tired.
Lidstrom's old.
Lidstrom is old. He's turning 40 years old. We have Ortmeier, who's ready. He could play. He's going to be fresh. We have Wallin. If he wants to step in, he's going to be fresh. We got guys ready to play that are going to can put up the minutes. We can wear them down. They got Fords that play a lot. They got D that play a lot. They could get tired. They've been to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years in a row now. They just played a 7-game series. They're going to be tired.
Dude, the Sharks are going to beat the Wings.
Okay.
And let me tell you why.
All right.
Detroit does not do something that Colorado killed us with, and that's block shots. They do not block shots in the playoffs like Colorado did. They're near the bottom. I think they're, you know, in the bottom four in block shots, surprisingly, with us. We're in the bottom four as well. So that was a real nemesis for the Sharks in the playoffs in the first round, where all the block shots by Colorado against Detroit, it's going to be a little bit more open skating. It's going to play to our favor.
Dude, I have a final reason why the Sharks are going to win.
Why?
Even though the Wings have good defense, one of their defensive pairings is going to be overmatched. If they decide to go Lidstrom versus Pavelski, then that's going to open the door for Joe Thornton. And if they put Lidstrom and Rafalski against Joe Thornton, well, guess what? That leaves our top line against their second line, Brad Stewart, Nicholas Cronwall. Those guys can hit, but man, Pavelski and Klo are tenacious. I would love to see a Klo versus Cronwall battle. I think Klo's the bigger man. I think Klo can win that matchup, and I think the Wings could be in some trouble every other shift because they don't have, if the first line comes alive, they're not going to have an answer.
Most importantly, dude, the Sharks are going to beat the Red Wings because the curse has been broken, dude.
The curse has been broken, dude.
The curse has been broken.
Yeah.
We are undefeated. That's since the exorcism.
True.
And all postseason demons have been purged, dude.
Dude, it totally worked.
There is no reason not to still believe, as queasy and uneasy as we might feel right now about playing the Wings. We have to have a little bit of mojo on our side right now.
Yes.
We've got to have a little bit of swagger. We are the best team in the Western Conference. We should be the favorite. We're going to take them out, dude. It's going to be a tough series.
Wow.
Who is your hero in this series? Call it right now.
I'm going to go against my better judgment and say Joe Thornton.
Oh.
Maybe because we need him. If they're going to win the series, one of those three top line guys will be the hero. Because if they don't, then they're not going to win the series. So it's it's sort of a circular argument, but I'm going to say Joe Thornton because if he's not a hero, then they lose. Who's your pick, dude?
I'm going to say Ben Ferriero. I'm just kidding. Dude, I'm going to stick with my boy. I'm going to go Dan Boyle.
Nice.
I think that he has been through the ringer in this series more than anybody else. And there's no one who has the look of, I want to win more than Dan Boyle does on his face every night. I think it's going to be his turn to put the team on his back because I think the Wings are really going to focus on the Pavs line. And Dan Boyle's going to have the keys to the car. He's going to have to drive this offense. It wouldn't surprise me if he was in the top three in scoring on the Sharks by the end of the series.
Wow.
Dan Boyle. It's going to make it happen, dude.
Good stuff, dude. So we do have to talk about start time, although we're running out of time here on the podcast. There's no chance that they're going to play game one on Thursday. There just isn't. We looked at all the series that went to seven games.
Say no chance, dude.
There's no chance. I'll say it. We looked at all the series that went to game seven the last couple of years. None of them only had one day of rest. They all had 2 days or more of rest. And because there is events, there are events happening on Friday and Saturday night. That means game one will be Sunday, and the Wings will wriggle out of the grasp a little bit because that is actually going to be the longest amount of time that a team has had to rest. They're going to have 4 full days of rest before we play game
one. Whose fault is that? It's the Eagles' fault. I'll tell you that. Those damn Eagles coming to the San Jose Arena and stealing our home ice advantage.
Joe Walsh, that guy can barely even play anymore. And they kicked Don Felder out of the band. It's crap.
I'm going to pick it.
Pick what?
I'm gonna pick at the concert.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Damn you, Eagles.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Stand out there and throw an octopus on the stage.
Yeah, so the Sharks kind of did it to themselves because they didn't give themselves the flexibility of scheduling. If the Eagles weren't in town, they would probably play game one on either Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, most likely.
And now we're getting the Wings some extra rest to heal up, but luckily the Sharks will have the same rest to heal up, and I think the Sharks probably need a little bit more with Heatley a little banged up and some of the other guys a little bit banged up. So
it's tough because this really would have given the Sharks a big advantage, that home ice that you really cherish, because now it's going to be really evened up. But
yeah.
What are you going to do? There's not much you can do about it. Of course, as a fan, I'm disappointed tonight. I'm looking at NHL.com right now. I'm trying to figure out when game one's going to start. I want to know, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know.
Yes. Well, you won't know until tomorrow, dude. Have patience, my son.
Dude, we've got one more hockey game going. We've got the Capitals and the Canadiens.
Yeah, crazy.
Still going, dude. Do you think the Capitals are going to do what the Red Wings did tonight?
Yes.
And blow them out of the water?
Absolutely.
Or is Montreal going to pull off an Edmonton Oilers type upset here?
No. No chance. Washington's going to kill them in game seven. I'm calling it right now.
Okay.
I'm just calling it. Dude, we got to talk about Chomp Talk, because we're going to be on Chomp Talk this weekend on Sunday. You can tune in live. It's going to be 9 to 10 p.m. on Sunday night. Most likely, you're probably going to be watching the game, so I recommend the podcast if you can't listen live. We are going to be posting that on dudesonhockey.com. It'll be part of the podcast feed, so if you already subscribe to the podcast feed, and why wouldn't you, through iTunes or some other podcast catcher, as they're called, you will get it along with all of our regular Dudes on Hockey podcasts. But
fantastic.
I certainly encourage you to listen live.
It'll be original content.
It will be. It's not just going to be a stupid rehashing of this podcast, although probably will be, but you know, a little bit.
It'll be slightly different.
I'll make it a little bit higher. I'll add some echo. Oh, I'll add some echo to our voices, so we'll sound like we're in a cavern. But you can definitely listen to it, and it's an hour long. And future weeks, when they're, you'll be able to call in, stuff like that, it'll be more interactive. So
maybe we'll try and get a snappy guest.
Yes.
Maybe we should try.
We can try.
Try and get a Red Wings blogger.
Late notice. It's going to be tough.
Hmm. Well, they're not doing anything in Detroit.
Yeah, they got nothing. We'll have to figure that out. But certainly tune in, and of course, tune in to Chomped Dudes on Hockey next week. Same time, same place. Go Sharks, man. This is the series.
To all you goatee haters out there.
Yes.
Your word on the blog has been heard. And I'm not changing the thing.
Has been heard and ignored. Well, that wheat goatee is filled in nice, dude, and thank my you. Disgusting beard hasn't. So there it is.
The beard is gross.
Thanks, dude.
Later.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.